Beloved in Christ, on this cold December night, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Would you, if you are able, stand together as we sing our hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, number 76 in your hymnals.
You are in your hymn books.
Good evening. It's good to gather in this place, this wonderful Christmas Eve, as we anticipated, we've been expecting, and now it's time to celebrate. As we gather here as family and friends, it's good to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit as we worship this evening. If you would, bow your heads with me as we have our invocation prayer. Father God of love, you have brought us together tonight and blessed us with your very self. Open our eyes this evening to see the light of Christ, which glows in the darkness of a world engulfed with apathy, pain, and loss, a world that has been separated from you. But Father, we gather here knowing that you are going to speak to us so that we may hear the good news of your salvation. Bring us into the wonder of your presence through the presence of the Christ child this evening. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, join with me in your responsive reading that is printed in your bulletin. I'll read the light print, and the congregation will read the dark print. Born in the squalor of a filthy barn, born out of wedlock, born into the poverty of a hopeless family, born before the watchful eyes of stinking sheep and unwashed donkey. Born into a world with no room for a savior, born under oppression, subject to the enemy state.
Christ the Savior,
not visited by priests or royal guard, not visited by kings or holy scribes, not visited by leaders or lawgivers, but by lowly shepherds, the rabble of the day. Over dusty floor, upon the hay, in the dark, wrapped in strips of cloth.
The baby is born, good news to all people. Surely God is with us.
Emmanuel indeed. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing carol number 89, O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand if able.
I'll be reading Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, the decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken from Quirinius, the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to the firstborn son, wrapped in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over flocks by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace on earth peace among those who he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it has been told to them.
Tonight to come and join me. You can sit right over here by our nativity scene that we place now underneath the chrismon tree. If you want to sit right here, you won't need your candles. One of the things that we get to do tonight, and we like to let the children do, is place baby Jesus in the manger. We also get to light the Christ candle, the big white candle that's up there. So I know for four Sundays now, you've looked at this manger. See the little manger right here? With the hay, and what's missing?
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus, that's right. So tonight, we get to place our little baby Jesus figure in the manger. Would you put that in there for us? Right there. See, so on Christmas Eve, we get excited because, not just because presents and all the food and the fun, but we're celebrating the birth of Messiah, Jesus. And that's why in just a second, when we start to sing our hymn, we're going to light the Christ candle too. That's something we've been waiting for 4 weeks to do. Because tonight is finally the night that we can say joy to the world. Let me hear you say joy to the world. Come on. Let me hear you say joy to the world. Can you say it? Huh? Can you say joy to the world? You can't. Can you? Joy to the world. That's perfect. Luke, can you say it? Joy to the world. Judy, can you say it?
Joy to the world.
Yes. How about all the big kids? Let's hear all the big kids say joy to the world. Show them how to do it. All right. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for baby Jesus born on Christmas night. We pray, Lord, that we would have hearts full of his joy and his life and his love. In his name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're able, please stand again as we sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come.
Hymn number 87. may be seated.
They say that for preachers, it's hard to mess up Christmas Eve. You sing the carols, and you read the Christmas story, and you celebrate the birth of Christ. But I wanted to share with you also tonight just a word of comfort, challenge, and encouragement as we look at our passage from Colossians that I think captures something of the heart of the meaning of Christmas and the purpose of our lives as disciples in light of Christ Jesus. Would you pause and pray with me? Oh God, we come now to your word to wrestle with it. Whatever you have to share with us, let us not miss it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is said that there was a tiny village in South Texas, and there in this village was a tiny church, and on one Wednesday evening, they were holding their missions night for their RAs and GAs. If you're not Baptist, that's the missions training for little kids. And so all these little children were packed in a room together, listening with wide-eyed wonder at this person, the speaker that they had brought in, who shared about a mission that he was a part of. He showed the children pictures of starving faces. He told them stories about inadequate housing and children with no shoes and no school to go to. He told them about suffering and pain. And then at the end of the speech, the children were given an opportunity to practice empathy, to learn about stewardship and sharing. And so the speaker said, if any of you children would like to give anything, please raise your hand and we will give you an envelope. Children began to raise their little hands. And among those hands was one, let's be honest, one dirty little hand in the back. It was a kid named Juan whose family had just come to the town only a few weeks ago, and his father had died unexpectedly and suddenly. And the church was trying to support this family and take care of them and make little Juan feel like a part of the gang. And so he was one to raise his hand that he wanted an envelope to give something to the mission. The other children began to snicker. Some even giggled a little bit. One boy muttered under his breath, what does he want an envelope for? He doesn't have any money. Another kid said, yeah, my dad says we're taking care of him. But pushing aside all of the muttered insults and laughter, Juan took an envelope. If he had $1 million, he would have placed it in that envelope that night. He was so moved and touched and motivated by the stories. But the kids were right. The boy had nothing to give. And so instead, he bent the little envelope open and he blew in a kiss. And at the very moment that he blew in that kiss, a tiny tear fell from his eye into that same envelope. Don't mistake the story. Not a tear of shame and self-loathing, but a tear of genuine, heartbroken sorrow for the suffering of others. It was a tear that was born and motivated out of the sensitivities of a heart that truly understand what it meant to love and to have compassion for someone who's got it rough. It was a tear born out of a heart that had learned to care extravagantly. I believe that an angel must have personally delivered that envelope to that mission field that very night, because that little boy's gift was powerful, more powerful than the greatest contributions and donations of the rich and powerful, all of which, in my opinion, fall short compared to that simple, tiny tear and that whispered kiss. The little boy in the story teaches us a part of the meaning of Christmas. He gives us two lessons in what he did, quite simply, that go far beyond money. He teaches us to have wonderful compassion and to have desperate love. To be motivated by the heart is a powerful thing. Consider the ancient words of the Apostle Paul as he writes in Colossians 3. In verse 12, he says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion." He tells us to wear compassion like a garment, like a cloak and a coat upon your back. He tells us to make compassion so much a part of who we are that to be without compassion, why, we would feel naked. Naked, too, what we feel, as he goes on, if we were without humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The two ends of the sandwich of this message are compassion and love. Paul uses those two concepts to envelop his message about what it means to be the community, what it means to be the people of God. It's not simply about our salvation that we gather here tonight. It is not simply about us celebrating Christ died for me and I am saved and me and Jesus will be together one day. Christmas Eve is just as much a call to human beings to meet each other with compassion and love. And when we say to have that heart of compassion and love, we do not mean to have some warm, fuzzy notion, some sentimental Hallmark movie idea about being kind and loving to each other only in our mind. That's just something that's cerebral. We're talking about practical. We're talking about compassion and love with tears and kisses and feet on the ground and helping hands extended far and wide. I would challenge you this Christmas season, even as I did this morning in our morning worship, to look for ways that you can live out compassion and love, not to simply sing about it, not to simply memorize the idea and the ideals of compassion and love, not to simply talk about it and read about it and watch movies about it, but to do it. And to not say, "Church, tell me how to do it or where to do it," but be the one who comes up with the idea. Be the one who creates the ministry, who starts the program, who starts the community initiative, the movement, if you will, of compassion and love. Don't be the one who sits around and waits for someone to beg you to be a part of what they have come up with and they have created. But be the one who sees the world around you and says, "God is over there. I need to be a part of what he is doing." Whether it be something as simple and disconnected as giving to a ministry or giving to the church, or even better, if it be something more personal, like picking up the phone and calling Salvation Army or calling the soup kitchen and saying, "How, when, and where can I serve?" It's about waiting for someone to create those opportunities for us. It's about us being the creators. This morning, we were challenged in the scripture by Mary's song about how God brings down those who are up high and lifts up those who are lowly, and how God shows justice, not vengeance, love and mercy. When we say that this Christmas Eve we have the call to be godly, to live godly lives, is that not a call to be as God is, loving and compassionate? Let us pray. Oh God, we hear the call of the angels. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. And yet we ask ourselves, O Lord, what do we do to bring peace, to usher in goodwill? In an age of divisions and disharmony, Lord, make us love. Make us people of compassion. Even if it means we look foolish and we lose the argument, Lord, grant us love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the world in sin and ever pining, till he
who hear the angel.
As we come now to the table, we are reminded that the king's crown is full of light and life, but Christ came in Bethlehem not only to be born, but for this purpose, to die for the sins of many. As the old revivalist preachers would say, however, Christ was born, period. Christ died, period. Christ was crucified and died, comma. Christ rose again. Christmas really means very little apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus. For by his death and his resurrection, he demonstrates his power over evil, over sin, and over the darkness of death. Tonight, as we come to this table, we come much like the disciples long ago who gathered together with Jesus in the upper room to share in the Passover meal, that sacred and solemn celebration of God's deliverance of the people of Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. And yet Jesus, as the meal continued and progressed, he began to share another type of deliverance from the shackles and the slavery of sin. We are told that it was on the night before he was arrested that Jesus took the bread. And he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." In the same way, he took the cup. And he blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Almighty God, King of the universe, we give you thanks for the blessing of these powerful symbols of the cup and the loaf. Your body given, your blood shed, but also for the power that they remind us of your salvation, your grace, and your mercy, and that they remind us that you shall come again in glory at the end of the age and make all things right and new. We pray that tonight, as we come and share in these symbols, you would deepen our faith. Encourage us and challenge us. Enlighten our spirits with Christmas joy, the joy of a Savior who conquered even the darkness of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We invite you to come tonight in a very intimate way. Rather than passing plates around to you, we invite you to come together as a family or as a group of friends. Or you may come as an individual. However you feel most comfortable, we invite you to come and surround this table as David and I share with you the elements of bread and cup. We'll hand you a piece of bread, and once all of your family members have the bread, then we will offer you the cup to simply dip lightly your piece of bread in the cup and take and eat and drink at the same time. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Paul says, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you come and receive these symbols of Christ? you, if you're able, to please stand for the reading of our scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And may these ancient words bring new light to your heart this Christmas Eve. For it is written, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him and who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or flesh or of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us for a while. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Let us celebrate and rejoice in that truth as we sing together our final hymn, "Silent Night, Holy Night," number 91 in your hymnals, but it'll also be on the screen for you.
Thank you.
Would you receive this blessing as we go on this Christmas Eve? May the light of Christ shine in you and through you to all that you meet, to all that you greet. Merry Christmas by the grace of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.